Good morning, Holy Sabbath. Do we know the song, "That's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place"? Do we know that? I think it's 262 or 362. Can we sing that, please? Yeah. "That's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit in This Place." As all possible, those who can kneel, please kneel with me, please, as we seek the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your people, so grateful people that you have set before this world, that we may carry forth the three angels' message. Lord, I'm afraid that we have forgotten who we are, what you've called us to do, and what you've called us to be. So, Father, through the Holy Spirit, remind us who we are, not just at this moment, but until you allow us to lay down and sleep, or until you translate us. But whatever our lot may be, Father, we ask you that truly we want to be Seventh-day Adventists. You called us to be a peculiar people. So, Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to make us such. Through your grace and through your mercy, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
For those who may not know me, I'll make this really quick. I was ordained by God before April 18, 1963. That's when I was born, so I said before then, because God said before you was formed, I knew you. And I was ordained by man in January the 17th, 1994. So saying that to say this, how much time do I have? Okay, we may be at about 3 o'clock. But we are the Sabbath is still the Sabbath, amen. I think the sun set about where I live at, which is a couple of miles down the road, about 8:15. So if you get through hearing before I get through preaching and speaking, just sit there and listen to me, amen. So before we begin, I wanted to share with us that the sister Alice called yesterday, and I called my wife, and for some reason she thought we was going to be out of town. So, but yet and still, God has ordained for us to be here today. And she asked me about the songs, and I told her I didn't have a song. But when I saw this bulletin, the crest of the message today is the foundation of our faith. And then the question that God gave me this morning to ask us, and this is a rhetorical question, with the real, please don't answer this question, please don't respond to it, but in your mind, please respond with the real, will the real Seventh-day Adventist stand up? You know, I've been a Seventh-day Adventist since 1990. And I've seen a lot of changes in our faith in our church. But our pillars of our faith have not changed. We have changed. And I pray that you would forgive me in advance because I may say some things that's going to be Bible and spirit of prophecy. I promise you this, that I will not say anything outside the word of God or spirit of prophecy. Amen?
Amen.
I promise you that. Why do I promise you that? Because I'm going to read from the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Amen? And I know this church loves to hear from the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
So let us turn to Psalms chapter 11. And we're going to come back to Revelation 14. We got 2,300 years to cover in about an hour. So we have a lot to cover this morning in a short time. But I promise you, I will not waste your time. And I can only go as quick as you can find the scriptures. And I know God's people used to be known for their Bibles and the spirit of prophecy. It used to be a time when you could see they had the Bible and they had a spirit of prophecy book. For those who, and I don't know everyone here, but those who may not be Seventh Adventists, God has given us a church and a message that to the law and to the what?
The
and the testimony of Jesus Christ is what? Revelation 19:10, amen. So are we there in Psalms chapter 11? Okay, I don't hear no pages turning, so I assume we are there. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That is a question that God has given us to answer. So we need not be discouraged, but we need to be encouraged that every time we look at the word of God, that in the spirit of prophecy, we can see if we see us. Now, God never measures us by each other. And Amos 3:3 says what? And that's what? And as two walk together, how can they agree? A lot of times we look at that verse and say, well, if me and you walk together, how can we agree? But no, a lot of times we should look at that verse, am I walking with the Lord? Because the Lord doesn't agree with you. You must agree with who? With the gospel and with Jesus. So if you're not agreeing with the gospel and the Bible and spirit of prophecy, then you out of step. Amen? So those who've been in the military, we know that when you do a march, a passing review, everybody has to be in step. Formation, column, you have to be in step. So you have to take line upon line, precept upon precept. So I ask again, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So let's go back right before the Garden of Gethsemane, right after the Passover. Let's turn to Mark 14, verses 26 through 28. Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. I don't hear no pages turning, so you must already be there. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Mark 14. It used to not be a time when, you know, we as Seventh Day Adventists, we always took our Bibles to church. And I know now we know our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, so we have it memorized. Amen. And I know we have the spirit of prophecy memorized, and that's a great thing. And if we do, that's a blessing. But when we get there, can we say amen?
Amen.
What chapter and verse did I say? 26 to 28. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the what?
Shepherd.
And the what?
Sheep.
Shall be what?
Shepherd.
But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now Jesus has warned them that these things are going to happen. Now, we kind of know the story that what happened, right? Did they all forsake Jesus? When did they forsake Jesus? And the question still remains, have you forsaken Jesus? Have you forsaken him? And we ain't even in the time of trouble yet. So it behooves us to examine ourselves by the word of God and the spirit of prophecy each and every day, because there is some trouble coming upon this world that we have not yet seen. And many of us may be laid to sleep, and the spirit of prophecy tells us that, and the Bible teaches us that some of us will be laid to sleep, but some of us will go through the time of trouble. And I believe, and I believe this, and I've been believing it since I became a Seventh Adventist. I believe that I will see Christ in my lifetime. I see things taking place right now in our world that I thought that I would never see. In the United States, because the United States, you know, sets the tone for how the world goes. And we readily are seeing our laws being stripped away since 9/11, taken away. You know what? And we are the people of God. And we are the church with this only, you know, God has only given this church this message, this last day message. If we don't tell them, and I'm telling you, when we get to Revelation, it's going to be some things said. It's going to make some of us uncomfortable, but it should not be. We're Seventh-day Adventists, amen? And we are not Adventists. There's a difference between Seventh-day Adventists and Adventists. And sometimes the devil has made us identify ourselves as being Adventists. Adventists came about when? When did they come about, Adventists? 1844. But we are Seventh-day Adventists, and God gave us that name. He gave us a name because every time we say Seventh-day Adventists, it should make someone think what that means. We are distinct people. God gave us the health message, gave us dress reform, gave us the sanctuary message. There's no other church, there's no other person in the world that can explain the 2300-day prophecy like the Seventh Adventist Church can. But yet and still, do y'all remember Joe Cruz?
Yes.
If you listen to Joe Cruz's message, and you look at where we are today, and you look at C.D. Brooks' message, and other elders and ministers within throughout the organization, and God has a faithful minister in every church who preaching the three-angels message. But that should not be so. God, Moses says in Numbers 23, I think, Numbers 11, I wish all God's people was what? Prophets. We may not have the gift of prophecy, but we all can be prophets. A prophet is only the messenger to give the message. And Sister White, amen, we had a third grade education, and many of us in this church got doctorate degrees, master's, bachelor's. And our message should override anything that we claim to be or we identify with. I'm telling you, saints, when you look at Ezekiel chapter 8 and Ezekiel chapter 9, God is not playing. God is serious about his message. And at the church, you know, the Spirit of Prophets talks about it in one of the testimonies that a sleeping preacher is preaching to a sleeping people. Are we asleep? But you know what's going to wake us up? The loud cry. Time of trouble going to wake us up. And we need not be woken up because of that. We should be watching. We know not the day or the hour, right? But we know the time. Jesus said, you will know the time of my soon coming. And if you don't know the time of Christ coming, you'll be like the five sleeping virgins. And as a matter of fact, when you go to, and we're going to get there, but when you go to Matthew 24, do you know when you look at Matthew 25? That Matthew 25 is actually meaning that you're in heaven already. So if you can't get through 24, you will not make it in 25. Because Christ said, when I come and examine you, and you don't have the garment on, guess what? You'll be cast out of the darkness. And there should not be an excuse why we as Seventh-day Adventists should be lost. There should not be a reason why we should not know how to give our message to the whole world. Amen? Let's go through verses, same chapter. Let's go down to verse 46 through 50. 46 through 50. And they laid their hands on him and took him, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, are you come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all what? And what? As I said a minute ago, many of us have forsaken Jesus. Now, I know we don't like to talk about what we eat. I know we don't like talking about how we dress. I'm gonna talk about my faith, Seventh-day Adventist faith, amen? What I was taught in 1990. I was taught that a Seventh-day Adventist, we just didn't eat anything. Amen? We just didn't watch anything. We just didn't go to theater going, movie going. So someone has tricked us. Someone has said, you know what? You're too serious about your faith, so therefore the other churches go, so why shouldn't you be going? Saints, let us get back into the spirit of prophecy. That's what makes us different from who everyone else is. Not because we're better, not because we're larger, not because we're richer, Not because we're poor, because God saw something in you. Brother Dunn, I love when he tells the story. It was at a fork in the road. Las Vegas, California. Las Vegas, California. The fork is in the road. Are you going to choose the world and their luxuries? Or are you going to choose that peculiar people who have a special message, who eat differently, who act differently, who dress differently? Do you know why God gave, if you look at the children of Israel and how they came out of Egypt, if you look at us, how God brought us out in 1844, God gave us the exact same thing he gave them in line. And you know the sad thing about that? Many of us are turning around going back towards Egypt too, just like they were. But there is another writing, there's a group of small people that's going towards the city because they have sold all they had to be with what? Be with Jesus. Saints, if you want to be different, you don't have to try. Just read God's word and spirit of prophecy. You will be different. Amen? Let's go to John chapter 20, verses 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. We have a Bible study every week, mostly when I'm in town. And they have them when I'm not here. Praise God. I can remember all of our churches in the early 90s, we would go out and pass our tracts, and we'll come back and we'll share. I was in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we'll come back and share with how the people received the message and how they was glad to receive the literature that we gave them. And then we may eat, or we may go home and eat. Then we came back and had Bible studies. Then we had Vespers, MV. Y'all remember MV, Missionary Volunteers? What happened to us? If you preach a message that I'm ready to preach right now, you'd be really kind of unpopular among seven events, and that's sad. Because you know what? I promise you, you go to a Catholic church, they're not going to change that message. You go to a Baptist, they're not going to change it. Go to Pentecostal, they're not going to change it. They don't care who come through those doors. God brings people through our doors, and we're afraid of offending people. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. Let's go to Psalms 119, verse 165. Hold your hand right there. Go to Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. Psalms 119, verse 165. Can you let me know when we're there, please? Because I forgot to give you a test this morning, and this is an open book test. Keep your hand in John chapter 20, verse 19, but let's go to Psalms 119, verse 165. Are we there yet? He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and what? So I do want you to answer this question by a show of hands. How many love the law of God? Where can we find that at? Where can we find the law of God at? Okay, amen. Exodus 20, right? So, and everybody raised their hand and say they love the law of God, correct? So, if you love the law of God, then you should not be what? Amen? So if I say something that offends you, then you don't love the law of God. Now, why am I saying that to say this? Because this is the reason why. If someone says something to you that's not true, then why should it bother you? Amen? Think about it. If you say, Brother Jones, and I wore this tie purposely because I was wondering if my wife was going to say something about it, but I don't know if she knows how I was dressed or not, because I know she wouldn't approve of this tie. So I wore it for a reason, because I was instructed to wear it. Never wore with this suit before. So if she had said, you know what, that tie doesn't match, I wouldn't have got offended, because guess what? I was told to wear it, so I wore it, amen? And if it was true, and I needed to change something, then I shouldn't be offended, I should make that change, amen? So we should never get offended by anything. Because if they say something to you that don't pertain to you, why let it bother you? But if it bothers you, then you need to maybe change and get converted. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm not saying nobody's not converted in this church. I'm not saying that. But I will say this, is that a lot of times we allow things to offend us because of the fact that we don't want to follow what God says. And this is taken from Great Controversy, pages 409, paragraph 2. And I'm not going to read everything. I'm giving you some reference so you can write it down because we don't have time to read everything, but I would love to. I'm telling you, the spirit of prophecy is very beautiful. Amen? You say, the scripture which above all others have been both the foundation and the center pillar of the Advent faith was the declaration unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed, Daniel 8:14. These had been familiar words to all believers in the Lord's soon coming. Do we believe in the Lord's coming?
Amen.
Amen. By the lips of thousands was this prophecy repeated as the watchword of their faith. All felt that upon the events therein foretold depended their brightest expectation and most cherished hopes. These prophetic days have been shown to terminate in the autumn of 1844. In common with the rest of the Christian world, Adventists, not Seventh Adventists, had held that the earth or some portion of it was the sanctuary. They understood that the cleansing of the sanctuary was the purification of the earth by fire of the last great day, and that this would take place at the second advent. Hence, the conclusion that Christ would return to the earth in 1844 was the Advent faith. Now, although they believe that, do many of us know Do many of us know the history of our church? Do many of us know how we begun? Now, we should teach these things to our children, and pass this along. Amen? Because we are a peculiar people. We believe some strange things. But you know what? Everything we believe, we can prove out of the Bible. Everything that the spirit of prophecy writes, we can go to the Bible and prove it by word. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to the word, it is because there is no what? So John chapter 19, verse 20 reads what? What verse did I give you? 2019? Yes, ma'am. That's what. John 20:19. John verse 20, verse 19. Reads, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. See, Christ had told them that, you know, that what was going to happen to him. And we know what's going to happen to us. And so the disciples should not have really been worried. But many of us like them, they didn't believe. Christ told them he was going to be crucified and they're going to be delivering in the hand of man. And yet they did not believe. They was right after the Sabbath had passed, here it says. Because what is the first day of the week? So right after the evening, when the evening set, is what? And by the way, you know what? When the Sabbath comes, we shouldn't be just running from the grocery store. We're trying to cook the last meal to bring to church. You know what? If you have not prepared to bring a meal to church before sunset, don't bring it. Because that food is not blessed. It gives you no nutrition value. Because we know about the manna, right? They could go out 6 days and collect manna, could they not? And they could eat it. But if they had to collect how many on the sixth day? And if they collect twice on the fourth day, it would do what? But on the sixth day, it could collect twice as much, and it stayed up until when? So you know what? It behooves us that we may need to, and I'm not saying we should fast on the Sabbath, but it behooves us that we have not prepared. We got 6 days to prepare for the next Sabbath. I don't understand this. God has not changed. It's not okay because, see, we have the same mentality to say, you know what, in the Sunday people, and I used to be a Pentecostal, so I'm talking about myself, in the past, we used to say, you know what, and I never said it because I don't believe it. I don't just know why I just never said it. Maybe I was too young to understand it. Just pray over something and God will bless it. That's not true. What God called is cursed, it is cursed. What God calls blessed, it is still blessed. Amen. So when the Sabbath comes in, you should not be running from anywhere. You should be, if all probability, in your house or wherever you need to be, waiting for the Lord. Because we're told through the spirit of prophecy, even the edges of the Sabbath is what? And it takes a minute to come down from all week. So, and that's why we should be coming down all week, every day. We don't need to look at the TV to bring us down. We don't need to look at another book to bring us down. We need to be reading the Bible and spirit of prophecy. And I always say, this is for me. And I know I wrote a book and I haven't even read the book. And you said, what do you mean? I wrote it, my wife edited it, and I have not read it. I will read it after I read all the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. When I finish reading all the spirit of prophecy books, then I will take time to read the book I wrote. Why am I saying this? Because it's not about me, it's about what that says the Lord. And I need to read what the prophet says about what's going to happen before I start reading something else. And God, and I wrote the book in a week and a half. But yet, it's not important to me. What's important to me is the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And if anything outside of that, that does not lead you to Jesus, and I'm not saying that, but some of these books that we should not be reading has a little truth in there and a little error. No. No. That's what happened to Eve. Listen to some truth, whatever mixed up. And our minds are not intelligent enough to decipher between error and truth without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying is that we can never go on forbidden ground and say, you know what, the Lord's going to bless me. He's going to give me, no, he will not. He has to perform a miracle so you won't be lost. A miracle. Now, that is said that we want God to do something out of the ordinary just to save us. And he did. What was the ordinary thing? He came from heaven. That should be enough. We should be convinced by looking at one another saying, you know what? And that's why it's imperative that each Seventh-day Adventist live true to his message, because you don't know who's watching you, or you don't know who you can encourage or discourage from the gospel. And so I'm sharing with us, brothers and sisters, if you never hear my voice again, remember who you are. Remember, you just did not get called into another denomination. You got called into a denomination who's supposed to be a light unto the world. There's no one else to have our message, not even in the completeness. They don't understand why we are. And we need to go tell. That's why God said, you know, when you go to work, you eat a certain way. And they said, and then it's a testimony to tell you about what else you believe. They said, well, why you eat that way? And guess what? You have opened the door to share what else you believe that they don't know about. But if we eat like they do, dress like they do, watch what they watch, how can we be a testimony and open up about our faith? Amen?
Amen.
Are we not Seventh-day Adventists? Because I'm telling you, the Pope is not playing. You think he's playing. I'm telling you. The great controversy, read the great controversy. Rome has never changed and will not change. You may change, and you may change to come with them and be destroyed, but Rome is never going to join you. I don't care what you can do. I don't care how many secessions you make. She said, before we make a secession of our faith, we should even go to war. We should never concede upon truth by no means. And if they get offended, it's not because of your word. You didn't write this Bible. I didn't write it. It was here. And it was the same Bible I had when I was young. None of us had anything to do with writing this Bible, right? Amen. None of us had anything to do with writing the spirit of prophecy. Although many of our people in our organization has begun to change some of the writings of the spirit of prophecy. And that is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. And we need to pray for our sisters and brothers in our other churches. We need to, when we go visit them, we need to witness to them. And we need to stand up to believe what we believe. We need to understand that we are Seventh-day Adventists. We are people who are ready to tell the world that, you know what? They're ready to pass the national Sunday law. Last week, Donald Trump signed that Johnson amendment, declined it, you know, in other words, he rescinded it. And you know what the Johnson amendment is? Anyone know? What's the Johnson amendment, brother? Oh, I thought, okay, yeah. Okay, the Johnson Amendment is this, is that, I think Lyndon Johnson, when he was a senator, I think in Texas, he had passed, or he had had some legislation drawn up, or might have been when he was president, that said that it should be a separation of church and state when it comes to politics. Amen. Now, I'm just going to hit home. I know many of us hope that Ben Carson is going to be president. You know what? God's people should have nothing to do with political office. We should vote on issues. That's where the prophet says that. You can find that in Selected Message Book 2. She talks about voting and not voting. We should vote on issues. Because when we vote for people, we don't know what's going on with them. We don't know what's in their lives. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I've never voted in my life. I've just been in the military. Well, in the military, you don't care who's your commander. You got to follow orders, amen? And that's the way it is with Jesus. We should follow orders no matter what Jesus says. And if you go to Revelation 14, 1 through 4, and I think verse 4 says, these are they that follow the Lamb whatsoever he goeth. We want to follow Jesus long enough it doesn't offend anyone or go against what we want to eat, what we want to do, what we want to watch, or where we want to be. But God has called us to not defend our own doing, but if they get offended, let their offended be unto salvation and not unto destruction. Amen? The spirit of prophecy says, a sure foundation, Maranatha. April the 29th. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19. The Lord would have a people as true as steel, and with faith as firm as the granite rock. They are to be his witness in the world, his instrumentalities, to do a glorious work in the day of his preparation. Ministers who have preached the truth with all zeal and earnestness may apostatize and join the ranks of our enemies, but does this turn the truth of God into a lie? No. Nevertheless, says the apostle, the foundation of God standeth sure. The faith and feelings of men may change, but the truth of God never. And for the sake of time, let's go to Revelation 14, 6 through 12. Revelation 14, 6 through 12. And Maranatha reads, on May the 3rd, we ought to obey God rather than men. A great crisis awaits the people of God. A crisis awaits the world. The most momentous struggle of all ages is just before us. The question of enforcing Sunday observance has become one of the national interests and importance. We well know what the result of the movement will be. But are we ready for the issue? Have we faithfully discharged the duty which God has committed to us of giving the people warning of the dangers before them? And let me share something with you. When she makes that statement, she's coming from Ezekiel chapter 8. And she's coming from Ezekiel chapter 9, Ezekiel chapter 3, and Ezekiel chapter 18, and Ezekiel chapter 33. God says in his word, if the wicked man dying of sin, or watchman, and we all are watchmen, amen. We are watchmen that must give account for souls. And if you warn the wicked not to turn from his way, he said, not only will the wicked pay for his sin, I will require the blood at your hand as well. But if you want the wicked man to turn from his way, and he turn not, he will die in his sin, but you will deliver your soul. But then he said, though a wicked man sinned all of his life, and yet he turned and followed me, his wickedness will I not remember, his righteousness I will remember. Look how just God is. Amen. So saints, as of right now, it does not matter what you've done yesterday. If you truly lay it at the cross and ask Jesus to forgive you and say, Lord, you know what? Maybe I've not been a Seventh-day Adventist. Maybe I've not been the person I should have been. Maybe I've not been a Christian Seventh-day Adventist that you have called me to be. But now this young brother who stood up and said, now it's time to call to duty. It is time for us to be who we are. Why be in this message and be lost? I don't understand it. I mean, I remember when I first became a Seventh Adventist in 1990 through a dream. I didn't have no evangelist series. I had a dream that, and God said he's going to come back soon. And I started searching for God's word. And I never forget, I was in Kansas, and I used to go to Pentecostal. We used to stand in the corner and say, Jesus, 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 for those who know Pentecostal, try to get the Holy Ghost. And then one Wednesday, I found myself going to a Seventh Adventist Bible study, prayer meeting Wednesday night. And our prayer meeting used to be really, really good here. I don't know. I mean, not this church, but many of our churches don't even have prayer meetings anymore. People don't have time to come to church. So, anyway, I was find myself in the Seventh Adventist Bible study, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and this pastor was talking about this, Pastor Willie Wilson in Kansas. I never forget it. He was sharing it with Sister White I seen, and I stopped him in the middle of a sermon. I raised my hand, and I said, Pastor, I want to meet this Ellen G. White. It was 1990. She died in 1915 at age 87. He chuckled. He said, beloved, she'd been there since 1915. That sealed my faith that this was God's true church. Because in no way things I read that God had showed through her that this can be God's true church. I didn't call my mother, my father. I didn't call nobody. I didn't care what they say about me. I didn't care. I didn't call the pastor because I come from a family, a long line of pastors, evangelists, and ministers. And I didn't call them. I didn't care what they said. I still don't care what they say. All that matters is what Jesus said to me. And I don't care what the Seventh Adventist Church say. I don't care what the organization say. All that matters is what thus said the Lord. And if I can't show you all the Bible and Spirit of prophecy, don't do it. You don't have to do it anyway. You got a choice. See, Romanism forced you. Seventh Adventists give you choices. Amen? And, you know, we shouldn't be ready to condemn those other self-supporting ministries that are Seventh-day Adventists that we think they're offshoots. Now, some of them are, like the Shepherd's Rod. Some of them are. But some of these other organizations that Seventh-day Adventists that's not part of the conference but just out there, do you know the Spirit of Prophecy speaks about those people? Do you know what she says about them? Volume 7 of the Testimony, page 23, states that the self-supporting ministries are very much needed. They may not receive no financial support at the head of the work, but go ahead giving the message to the world because you can reach the people that we can never reach. Amen. And Jesus even spoke about those. You know what? Do you remember when the disciples said, Lord, we saw one casting out devils in our name and we forbid him because he wouldn't follow us? What did Jesus say? Leave them alone. Those are not against me or what? With me. Just because they preach the same message, they're Seventh Adventists, and whatever reason they can't do what they want to do, I don't know why, because maybe they're preaching present truth and we are not. And we get offended because of the fact they're telling people that the Catholic Church is the Antichrist, the Pope is the Antichrist, and we don't want to hear it because it makes it untruth and unpopular. So we say, they're offshoot. We shouldn't say, no. If anybody preaching the message that we preach, we should embrace them. Amen? Now, that's unpopular among our churches, but that's the truth, as it is in Jesus. And we are so much harder on them than we are on the people who's about against us. I don't get that. And the devil saying, you know what, fighting amongst yourselves. And you know what remind me of? The sons of Korah. And sons of Korah was actually in the wrong. But if anyone that's preached our message, all of it, and living and teaching, we should embrace them. You don't have to support them financially, but you shouldn't talk about them. For whatever reason they do what they do, let them preach the gospel. Because Paul said whether Jesus preached out of content, whether he preached out of hatred, Jesus being what? He's being preached. Amen? So Revelation 14, 6 through 12, and I got a few more minutes before we close. It says, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having an everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. And there fall another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark on his forehead and on his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of that torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or no night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever received the mark of God, the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, let me just take you into right here where we are. 1844, there was a group of people, a large group, all denominations. William Miller began to preach the message in 1833 that Christ was going to come. Christ was going to come. And if you look at the sanctuary message, that was 10 days before the Day of Atonement with the blowing of the trumpets, saying, prepare for the Day of Atonement, the cleansing of the sanctuary. So when you look at the 10 years before 1844, 1843, and look at 10 days before the Day of Atonement, it parallels perfectly. Amen? Cleanse of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, which started in 457 B.C. So in 1844, William Miller didn't really want to, if you read the biography, read the Spirit of Prophecy and the Great Controversy, which many of us have not read, and I'm not the example, but because I love this message, I read the book in 3 days because I couldn't put it down. And I was in the middle, I just couldn't put it down. It was just so fascinating. But I assume and I take that we are going to start reading it, amen? Because it tells us what we should be doing, what the enemy is doing, and where we end up if we're faithful to God. How many want to go to heaven? Yeah, nobody's never going to say no, are they? But how many lives, don't raise your hand. How many of our lives are like heaven life? And she said, the Spirit of Prophet teaches that, you know what, that we will fall a lot of times for our shortcomings, but we don't have to. But by choice, amen? Do you know sin is a choice? Do you know we can live perfect in Christ Jesus, amen? Not for a second, but for a lifetime. Sin only reigns when you choose to do what the devil say do. As long as you're connected to Jesus, he will let you know when everything is coming your way, and he will give you strength. And in Christ's righteousness, I think page 23, it states that of every temptation that comes to you, God weighs it and see if you can handle it or not. And if you fall, you can never charge God because you did not prepare. Amen? That's why I think it was Philippians 4:13 say what? I can do what? Can you define all? So if he says I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me, that means that I can overcome sin, all sin, amen? Because sin singular caused the Son of God to come on the cross and die. It was murder. It was eating an apple, a fruit, not apple, Lord forgive me. It was eating a fruit. I love fruit. We all should love fruit, amen? Because it cures a lot of infirmities and it's good for cancer. It's good for, like broccoli, it's good for cancer. Pure water is good for cancer. Amen. And we should not cook our food and kill it. Amen. We should not. But you know, with 7 minutes, we do know how to cook, praise God. But we have forgotten how to eat. That's for a whole nother day. So I would say this, that because Eve chose to listen to the voice of the devil and bite that fruit and eat that fruit. You know what? You go back to story of redemption. She said, she came upon this tree that God had told him, you know what, not to go. Anyway, the devil was warned by the devil, said, you know, husband and wife should stick together, and la, la, la. And then, but she, Adam was taking care of his business. Eve strolled away from his side and found herself in the midst of the tree that God had told her not to eat. Not to eat. Didn't say not to touch. Said not to eat. So when the devil began to flatter her with enticing words, and women, let me share this with you, well as men, be wary when men that's not your husband or not your wife give you compliments. Be wary. A man should not speak to you more loving than your husband. And a woman should not speak to her husband no more than a woman. Because when we listen to that voice, the human nature would love to hear that. And she was saying, man, and even tight, she spirit of prophecy and story of redemption, when the devil gave her compliments, she was enticing to hear it. And one thing led to another. And before you know it, she said, who is this person speaking to me only the way my husband should speak to me? And by listening to that enticing, melodious voice, because the devil don't come like a roaring lion a lot of times. He comes sometime as a snare. And if we don't watch his workings, we will be deceived thereby as Eve was. And Eve was perfect. Amen? Without sin. So we can never go on the forbidden ground of Satan and think, you know what, I can overcome this. No. No, only by the grace of God, you won't get destroyed. Do you know whenever you commit one sin, God can destroy you and he'll be just? Do you know that? And I've committed many, many sins. And I was just thinking myself that Jesus says, man, and Peter said, Lord, how many times should my brother offend me and I forgive him? What did Jesus say? So I was there and I said, Lord, I can't even count. 490 days, not even 2 years. That's like a year and a half almost. I know I offended God more than a year and a half. It is what it is. And I know. So guess what? One sin could cause you to lose your life and your eternal life. It's by God's mercy and grace that he has not done that. So God don't want us to continue in sin. And don't believe this thing that, oh, you're going to sin to Christ. Well, you know what? You may sin until Christ come, but you'll be lost. So don't let people deceive you and say, oh, you're never going to be perfect. You know what? Don't believe that. Because Christ coming back for a church without what? And guess what? The church is you. The message is you. The church is scripture. Jesus says in John 5:39, search the scripture and in them you think you're eternal life. There which testify of who? Of me, him. So therefore, you, one faithful soul, Spirit of prophecy says in Christ's object lesson, one faithful soul down throughout the ages have constituted God's true church all the way on earth and also ministry of healing. So we must understand what the church is. Group of people to church, one person doing right is to church. Because God will come back just for you if everybody that's doing wrong. God is not about numbers. Don't think God is about numbers. And Spirit of prophecy, many of us, seven of us is going to be lost. I don't understand that, but I accept it because I see now that because Jesus have delayed his coming, not because of his doing, because of our own doing, many of us are retreating towards Egypt and doing the things that we once told not to do. Because we have waited long for the second coming of Christ, and because of our own lack of indolence and insubordination, she said, that's caused us to be in this world longer than we should have been. Are we not tired of this world? I mean, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, amen? I look at the presidency, like, was it Barack Obama or Bill Clinton? All of them do the same to me. I don't put my trust in them. I put my trust in Jesus. Amen. I mean, whether who's in office, it is what it is. Gas goes up. God's going to give me enough money to make my gas go as far as I need to go. He's going to give me enough gas to go longer than the next person going to go. God will supply all your needs. Amen. He said, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. So all we need to do is be true to our message and give the message. In 1844, they was given the message that Christ was going to come on earth, and Christ did not come. Because they had the understanding that Christ, the sanctuary, was the earth that was going to be cleansed. So therefore, when they looked at that message, they said, and all they had, Pentecostal, Catholic, all these other denominations, and many of them came to join that movement because they didn't want to be lost. Now, are we joining this movement because we don't want to be lost, or are we joining this movement because we really want to see other people saved? I don't want to be lost. I want to see others saved. Amen? But we must love this message. We must love this message as much as the devil loves you to being lost. And he's untiringly. So therefore, though when Christ didn't come in 1844, and I've been to Vermont, and I stood on the rock where they waited for Christ to come, and he didn't come. Now, Christ's word didn't fall. It's the understanding of what the word was. So many of those people who left their churches and left their farms, they went back to them and they was laughing, ridiculed. And then there was two people that go into the cornfield because I'm told they was afraid of being ridiculed. And God opened up the sky and showed them. Hiram Nelson and O.R. Crozier, which was a school teacher. And God showed them that it was not the earth that was to be cleansed. It was Christ leaving from the holy to the most holy place for the day of atonement. Amen. So when now then, they began to study and say, Lord, what else have we don't have? They wasn't keeping the Sabbath, amen. Because if you go to where they stood, right in the building right next door, William Miller House right here, the Rockers here, and the church right there, and they had the Sabbath Sunday right there, right? So many of them didn't understand. And Rachel Oaks was one of the pillars of our faith who knew about the Sabbath, and she told Bates, hey, you're not keeping the Sabbath. I said, what are you talking about? The Sabbath. So they began to study, and they didn't have a name yet. And then they got together, and God gave them the name Seventh-day Adventist. And then that was the first angel message in 1844. Second angel message came right after that. And the third angel message is in conjunction with the second angel message, in conjunction with Revelation 18, 1 through 4, Babylon is fallen. We are the people who left to give the three angels message. So if we don't give it, who's going to give it? Now, Israel thought that God would never, ever forsake them and leave them either. And God did what in 1834? They gave him 490 years to repent and turn back in Daniel 9 and to righteousness and to anoint the most holy. And they did not. At the stoning of Stephen in 1834, they stoned Stephen and the probation was closed for the children of Israel. Now the spirit of prophecy tells us, and the Bible teaches us, that we are the spiritual Israel. We are the Jews of today. We are the gift that trumpet a certain sound. We are the gift that message to the world that the Catholic Church and the Romans, and in conjunction with our politicians, in conjunction with the Sunday following churches, we'll join together and say, you know what, that sect of Seventh-day Adventists, them the ones that's causing trouble to come upon the world. We need to stamp them out. And the decree was go forth, saying, kill them. And before the decree is enforced, they will go before the decree, and they will try to persecute us and kill us. And that's why, saints, many of us should be living in just, you know, Aiken's really not a city, not as you talk about Jacksonville and all them big cities. But guess what? We need to be preparing our ways. Those who can afford it should be preparing to be moving to the mountains. Amen? We need to be living. We need to be living. Now, you just can't move to the mountains and try to live like the city now. You can't take everything from the city and move to the mountains. You might stay in the city. And some of us, we're told, cannot afford to. But when those who can afford to should move to the country, move to the mountains. And those who can't, when they can come, you should accept them. Amen. Because none of what we have is not ours. It belongs to Jesus. So you shouldn't get mad. Well, you didn't come when I came, so you can't come. No. No. We are our brother's keeper. And even if they know the truth and they don't come, then they come later, you still should accept them, we're told, through the Bible and spirit of prophecy. So we have a much work to do. Amen? And so God is calling us that we are to give the trumpet a certain sound. And a certain sound that we need to give the trumpet is that, listen, the national son of law is coming. And people are going to think you're crazy. They're not going to believe you. But you know what? When it happens, because you believe it or not, there's a Sunday blue law. How many are familiar with the Sunday blue law? That's still in the books. And you know, I remember years ago, back in the 80s, they sent out a proxy form saying, you know what, you don't have to vote on issues. Give your congressman your power, and they'll vote for you. They make laws now while we sleep. And you know what? But God would never let anything happen to the saints without him revealing to you first. And I say, amen. Thank God for that, brothers and sisters. Because if we're true to God, he will let us know everything that was going to come upon this earth. And guess what? Things are ready to come. All we need to do is say, Lord, make me ready to be ready. And start telling, get them national son-in-law books. Get them great controversy. Get the steps to Christ. Start giving people those books. Oh, you don't have to say that. Say, hey, and people love to take things. They love to receive things. And we need to just be a willing vessel to give the message to the people. You may not know everything the next person know, but give them what you do know. And God will give you things that you didn't know, so he won't be embarrassed. You won't be embarrassed. You'll go away. I didn't know I knew that. Well, you didn't know that. God gave you when you needed it. So you never at a point you're going to know everything. Because I'm told through the Bible and spirit of prophecy that we'll be studying throughout eternity. And we as a people need to come together. We need to go back and have Bible studies in the afternoon. Because many of us don't believe the same thing. You think we do, but we don't. So we need to go back and start having Bible studies. What are you doing on the Sabbath anyway? Think about it. You go home and go to sleep for 4 or 5 hours, and that shouldn't happen either. So we should start having Bible studies in our church so we'll know what we believe. And if you want this church full, if you want this church complete, I see a lot of Seventh-day Adventist church. Brother Don was just saying there's 500 members somewhere in California. We got big churches, right? And it shouldn't be so, because the Spirit of Prophecy speaks about that thing. They should break up. about 80 to 100, and then they branch off. But nevertheless, if you want your church to grow, it grows in two ways. You can grow numbers, but you'll be spiritually dead, maybe. Or you can say, Lord, the ones that we do have now, make us spiritual growth giants, and let us go back and believe what we once believed. And I promise you this, and I hold God responsible for what I'm ready to say. I promise you this. If you grow spiritually, if you do what God say do, they will come to this door, because the Holy Spirit will lead them here. And you will say, Lord, not what I done, but look what you done. And all you did was concentrate yourself to the gospel and say, Lord, I'm going to live right. So if there is hell in the church, because there's hell in our homes. So if you want your church to grow numbers, first you, me, grow spiritually. And I promise you, God has said that he will grow you. You will not have doors enough. And then the world, this message will go out. And when those people come in, they got more fire than we got, don't shut them down. Let them go out and tell the truth. Let them go out and give the gospel. Let them go out and give the three angels message. The world must be converted, not to the world, but the people who choose the world will be converted to the world, but the people who choose our message will be converted to Christ, and there will only be few. But all will have heard the gospel, and only can they hear it is through us. Amen? So I ask you today, if you're ready to give this message, now if you're not ready, don't stand up. Because the Bible says that we should count the cost before we get into no man put a hand to the plow and then turn away. So those who I know are baptized Seventh Adventists have made that decision to stand for Jesus. Amen. And those who may not be Seventh Adventists, because I don't know everybody in this church, get with these people, the elders, sisters and brothers in this church, and say, you know what? I may not believe what you believe, but can you show me? Can you show me? That's all they want. You show them from the Bible. And don't be afraid to hold the Spirit of prophecy up. God gave it to us. That's what brings them to the church. It's not the Bible. It's the Spirit of prophecy that brings them. We get it backwards. We think it's the Word of God. It's that message, that little prophet, that lady that had a third grade education, that says, you know what? This is the way to walk in it, because it wasn't her writings. She just wrote it. It was the writings from Jesus that gave it to her through the Spirit of prophecy. Amen. And the Spirit of prophecy just didn't come. When you speak the Spirit of prophecy, not just talking about Ellen G. White, it's somebody from Genesis 3:15 onwards to the end of time. So we get it. We think it's just the Spirit, Sister White writing. No, it's not. Peter's talking about the Spirit of prophecy, gift of prophecy. Paul talks about it. So therefore, saints, if you're serious about serving God and doing what God asks you to do, and being the Seventh-day Adventist that you called to be, because I looked at the songs, and one of the questions was that I asked if you or choose Seventh-day Adventist, stand up. So and then the question was, and I saw the song, nothing built on my faith, I think it was the first song, where my faith is built on nothing less. The foundations, my hope is built on nothing less. Our hope is built on nothing less but the foundation put up our faith. And we as a church need to go back to what we believe, and then we'll know how God is leading us, amen? So if you're truly ready to serve God and ready to give this message, please stand to your feet. If you decide that you want to follow God and you want to give this message and you want to live the message, if you're able to stand, please stand. Brother, can you come and pray for us? I don't know who you are. Yes. But I would love you to pray for us and ask the Lord, whatever you ask the Lord, ask each one of us in our own hearts, as you pray to you solemnly, and as you pray aloud, and ask God to get us back to what we need to be. I will kneel, because you know what? We as a people used to kneel every time we pray. I don't know what happened to us. Now, some of us can't kneel because of health conditions. And you look at me like I'm strange. I kneel all the time, so it is what it is, saints. We must humble ourselves before Christ. Now, you can't kneel in your car when you're driving, and some can't kneel because of health reasons. And God understands. But many of us can't. And if you're my age and under, you should be kneeling. Amen. 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 Michelle, David, Barbara, I know they're younger than me. I can call them out. Everybody else, I don't know their age. So those who can kneel, let's kneel.
Lord, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the honor and the privilege to be your ambassadors here on earth. Lord, you've given us an awesome responsibility. And we want to put our hand to the plow firmly, Lord. We want to take three angels' message to everyone that we encounter, Lord. May our lives be consecrated to you. May we exemplify the behaviors that you desire from us, Lord. May we never deviate from that. Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to rest upon us, to be with us each and every day as we walk with you that narrow path, Lord. Let us never fall from it. Let us be in the Bible, in the Word, on a daily basis, Lord, because we know that your truth is in there. In order to know you better, Father, we have to be in your Word. Lord, you've charged us with bringing this message, Lord, to bring the light, to be your light on the hill. Lord, we don't always follow this duty. And for some of us, that pricks our conscience. There's a guilt there, Lord, that we know that we have not kept your commands always. But Lord, it's deep in our hearts that we're striving to follow you. When we hear Brother Martin's message this morning, Lord, we are called back to our center point where we ought to be. And though we're few in number here, Lord, you can endow us with that great power to be the spiritual lighthouses to the community. For as he said, we don't need great numbers. We just need you to work through us, and our efforts will be multiplied. Thank you for keeping us abiding in you, always. For none of us wants to be lost. None of us wants to lose a single family member or a single friend. And we owe them that duty to widen our sphere of influence, to bring them into your fold as best we can, because we know it's not our human efforts, Lord, but it's your Holy Spirit that will bring them through the doors when our example shines forth. We don't have to be charismatic. We have to be meek and humble and exemplify you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer and blessing us on this Sabbath day. For every Sabbath that you give us is glorious. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to just make a testimony here right now, because when the Spirit says that, there was a mix-up on who was supposed to speak. And when they called, Wilhelmina called me and says, okay, he's not going to be here. Who's going to preach? And my devotion that morning had been a sermon. And Brother Marvin, I just want to say, and this is why I know it's true, because the title of my, that if I had to preach, was going to be, Who Are We? God's People. Coming from Ezekiel 8:9, I took Matthew, ye are the light of the world, and Revelation 14. So I know that he was meant to speak Amen. Today.
Amen. Let us pray, please.
Dear Father, as we leave your place, we thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you've given us. Be with us throughout this day and bless us according to that mercy and kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.